What happens when everyone suddenly realizes that social media has incredible reach and mysterious advertising platforms with potentially unknowable impact? We're about to find out. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Politicians, the public, regulators here and abroad are all starting to face up to the power of social media companies, particularly Facebook. That company said last week it would give Congress thousands of political ads linked to a possible Russian propaganda campaign. Facebook will also update its ad technology to try to keep political advertising in check. But it's looking more and more like Facebook's days of sell first, apologize later could be coming to an end. Yochai Benkler is with the Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School.
I think the first thing we're seeing is a bit of a normalization of Facebook and Google after a good 20 years worth of the internet being somehow unique or special. Magazines, newspapers, broadcast TV have for a long time been fairly open, but always subject to public constraint, to some constraint on what's the bounds of the acceptable. And I think what we're beginning to see now is this normalization of Facebook and Google to have to line up with that. The challenge is that the new technology is allowing for such fine-grained targeting that groups that would have been uneconomical and too fringe to be reasonable targets becomes economically effective to target. And then suddenly the mainstream audience looks at that and says, that's wacky. We can't have that on.
Interesting. So the economic incentive is what's really changing the playing field. It's not so much obviously that Facebook or Google agree with these positions. It's that they can make incremental money over here, a little more over here, and it all adds up to a giant pot.
It's two things. First of all, it's a new technological ability to define very, very narrow markets. If you were trying to look for white supremacists on even cable TV, let alone broadcast, it's too small of a market to sustain a channel that could then be home for the advertising. That's no longer true. So you have much more efficient targeting, which means you have much lower cost targeting for groups that can be genuinely much farther out of what most of the audience is willing to live with. That's the new challenge.
How influential can these ads actually be? Or is there any way to tell?
So the whole question of whether political communication really influences behavior or not is a little bit of magic. There's a long-standing debate in political communication about whether people are or aren't moved politically in the ads, maybe at an individual level, yes, but at the population level, it remains a question. The reality of the matter, though, is that there's a massive industry of political advertising, just like there's a massive industry of marketing. You can't on one side say it's important enough that it's worthwhile spending billions of dollars or millions of dollars on advertising, and on the other hand say it's not important enough to constrain it when it really goes off the rails.
And we're talking about companies, certainly in the case of Facebook, with, I think you could argue, pretty unprecedented size and power. Does the responsibility here start to become a moral responsibility?
Moral responsibilities are hard to nail down, particularly for non-human entities like a company. I think the question is more public perception and public pressure and whether that public pressure is appropriate.
So in a way, it becomes essentially a free market solution?
I think it's important not to think of this purely in market terms, but to think of it in terms of social norms. Facebook has so much market power. Essentially, it's a monopoly in social networks that if it were purely about market signals, it wouldn't really be responding. What's critical here is that there is widespread and growing social discomfort with the idea that a player of this power would lend its platform to genuinely hateful, genuinely fringe communications. And it's that responsiveness to a broad social norm, a broad social sense of the responsibility of the party, of the company, rather than its focus on a market incentive that's really important here.
It's weird to think of the internet and Facebook as the Wild West, but I suppose when it comes down to many of those rules, they still are.
Look, I think it's appropriate when you have a fast-moving technology for regulation not to jump ahead. But now it's already 2017. We've seen how things are moving. And we can tell that a coordinated social bot or sock puppet attack together with advertising supported is essentially the equivalent of just buying campaign ads, except perhaps even more efficient. And so if it is the functional equivalent, there's no longer any excuse to exclude it from the disclosure regulation.
That's Yochai Benkler at Harvard Law School. Now, last week, Mark Zuckerberg largely blamed automated systems for approving ads that were bought by fake accounts that might be linked to Russian or other state actors. When we asked Facebook earlier in the week whether computers approve most ads or whether people are involved, Facebook said it was a mix of both. Although for what it's worth, it's not just Facebook under the microscope. This week, Twitter will also meet with the congressional panel investigating Russian influence on the 2016 election. And journalists from BuzzFeed were able to buy and target hateful ads using Google's self-service platform as well. Facebook and Google together make up 70-75% of political digital advertising. And Democrats are calling on the Federal Election Commission to require the same transparency from digital ads that exist for political ads on radio or TV. The commission has reopened the written comment period so the public can weigh in on what kinds of disclaimers should show up on internet ads. I'm Molly Wood, and I approve this marketplace tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.